With that before us, let's ask God's blessing. Lord, this is your word. It's your spirit that gave it to us. And in your grace, you have communicated the wonder of your grace and the power of your love. And now we're asking for some understanding. Help us not just to read it, but to understand it. And more than understanding it, help us, Holy Spirit, to believe it and to live it so that Christ will be magnified in our life. In his holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Psalm 31. It's a psalm of David. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me. For you are my refuge, and into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to the enemy, but you have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed with anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I am a dread of my friends, and those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten by them as though I were dead. I have become like a broken pottery. For I hear the slander of many. There is terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My time are in your hands. Well, for Dave, it was time to get married. So, Dave found a woman, quick romance, quick marriage, but it wasn't a good relationship. There was anger. There was unhappiness. And Dave ended up saying, why did I ever marry that woman? Ruth, she waited. She was in no rush. Her life today is filled with joy, with happiness, and even a family. And then there was George. Well, you know, George is one of these guys that quit high school. I just want to get to work. Trade school, college, university, no way, no time. I just want to make some money. And oh, is George ever sorry? Slugging it out in a dead-end job. And that's a real contrast to Jane because, see, Jane wanted a full-rounded education as she entered her particular field of vocation. And so how glad she was. She studied at Redeemer University College. The courses, the heart direction of the professors, they opened her eyes to the wonders of God's kingdom and creation. They deepened her commitment to Jesus Christ. See, Jane wasn't in a hurry. She wasn't concerned about the time that it took. Time. How do we view it? I use it, abuse it. You know, time accounts for different activities in every one of our lives. There's the hurried mother and father trying to comfort a newborn. Well, there's Johnny we have to comfort because of his skinned knees. And then there's those 90 million questions that Grandpa has to respond to Isabel with all her questions. And there's a husband and a wife. And they break their minds and their backs over a problem or over a job or over a disagreement. You know, sometimes we wish those kind of times would just disappear. And then there's other times. There's other times when we're so enjoying each other, we hope the time never ends. Time. It's important. See, time is how we measure our lives. It's in terms of time. And in Psalm 31, David is talking about a particularly difficult time in his life. Things are not going very well. It's true, he's God's chosen and anointed king, but it's lonely at the top. There's always somebody who wants to topple you. Just ask any of your local politicians. And David had numerous enemies inside and outside the borders of Israel. And David was so terribly human. You know, sometimes David was his own worst enemy. He struggled with temptations, adultery with Bathsheba, and then he murders Uriah to try to cover it up. You know, the devil never lets up. He knows our and exploits our weaknesses, especially. Especially if we have hearts that really want to seek and walk in his will. And David, as a leader, he knew and he heard usually second or third hand the contempt of others. There was jealousy and envy and slander and conspiracy and plots were muttering the atmosphere all around him. And on top of all that, those power-hungry vultures after him, his own sinful weaknesses and the old devil himself. On top of all that, David was physically sick. Did you hear his pleading complaint, his cry in verse 10? My strength is failing. My bones are growing weak. Now, precious people of God, I don't want to be pessimistic this morning, but I'm going to be realistic. In the churches I've served, as I made my visits and my contacts with members, with leaders, with families, there are very few people who are not experiencing some distress. Some, it's in their marriages. For some, it's in their relationships with their family and their friends or their extended family. What about you, young people, teenagers? You know, few of us grow up without some unhappiness. I lost a sister when I was 11 years old. Some people battle chronic illness. And parents, how many of us have raised our children without some heartache? You know, the old saying goes, little children, little problems, big children, big problems. Too many of us have experienced that. I'm not picking on you teenagers, okay? And we're all aging daily. You know, even you boys and girls and young people, you know, a sore back from a hockey check hurts a whole lot more as the months and years go by. And there's illness. And there's grief. There's loss. There's loneliness. Anger. Fear. Rejection. You name it. What hurt is in your heart this morning? And they're all times in our lives. How do we handle these awful times? What do we hang on to? Do we just despair? See, that's what David's talking about in Psalm 31. We want to listen this morning to God's inspired word through his sinful saint, King David. Psalm 31, verse 14 states, "But yet, nevertheless, in spite of everything, I trust in you, O Lord." Did you notice? David's up front with God. He says, "I've got nothing but my hope and my trust in you." In the teeth of opposition, in the barrage of assaults of temptations, in all my problems with my precious murderous son Absalom, all I have is my trust in you. And even that isn't mine, because you, Holy Spirit, you've given me that faith. You've given me that trust. And I wouldn't even have that if you, Lord God, didn't hold on to me with your powerful grip every moment of every day. Can you hear David's agonizing prayer? David isn't boasting by any means. He's not bragging. He's not courageous. It's not his own strength or his own trust in God, by no means. A person was mountain climbing in British Columbia. He slipped over the edge, and in desperation, he grabs this tree. He's hanging there. And he's praying, "God, if you're there, you better rescue me." And God says, "I'm there. I'm here. I'll rescue you. Just let go of that little tree." And the man looks down at the 1,000-foot precipice and says, "I think I'll call on another God." But who else is there? See, trust is when we've got no other options, nobody else to turn to but Almighty God. Is that where you are in your faith life? We had visitors a few weeks ago from out of town. They were bemoaning the fact that they didn't have any RRSPs or investments to supplement their fixed income. And he said, it makes it kind of tough at times. But then they were quick to say this, "But it's only money. God takes care of us." And that's trust. You know, that trust can be sorely tried. David's was. He's pining away with grief. He's overwhelmed with deep sorrow and suffering. He's drained like a dry well of all of his strength. And yet, nevertheless, there he is, supported by a strong trust, a powerful hope, because he is unceasingly calling upon his God. Now that's a confession. Did you know God delights to hear our expressions of trust? Martha, she made her profession of faith to Jesus. "I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God." And the Father and the Son and all the angels of heaven, they just rejoiced. And Peter made that confession to Jesus at Caesarea Philippi. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what did Jesus say? "Blessed, happy are you beyond imagination, because you didn't think that up yourself. My Father in heaven revealed that to you." Now, that's amazing, people of God. See, God puts these confessions in our hearts and minds, and then he rejoices. Isn't that wonderful? We are just his empty vessels. And he fills us with faith and with trust, and he rejoices. I think that's awesome. Is that the way we can face all that the world and this devil and our sinful nature can throw at us? With a profession of faith. And David adds to this profession, "I say, you are my God." Now what is David confessing? "In all my sufferings, in all my dangers, in all my difficulties, I have always clung to you, and you have always hung on to me. You and you alone are and forever and always will be my God." Do you hear it? You know, That's really a determined alliance to Yahweh, to the covenant God, the one who placed the sign of baptism on our heads, the one who nourishes us with his body and blood. I want you to notice, David is no fair-weather believer. David can hold on to his faith in the face of a sharp storm. He can wrap it around him like a parka designed to keep all the chills of life out. And why? How can he do that? Because God's almighty arms are always wrapped around him. The people of God, there's more here than just a profession of faith. See, David in these words is having an argument with God, just like Moses. He's saying, God, you revealed yourself as the great I am. You, God, claim to be the ever-present almighty covenant Lord who never goes back on your promises. Now prove it. Prove it. Live up to who you say you are. Why? Because, God, your name and your honor is on the line. Because, God, if you let me down now, if you fail to come through with the promises of deliverance, what will your and my enemies say? You know what they're going to say? Your God is worthless. But God, you're not worthless. By any means, I claim you as my covenant faithful God, and you claim me as your child. Oh, precious people of God, you know, it's worth more than 10,000 mines of gold to be able to say, God is mine. He's my refuge, my strength, my shelter in the raging storm. But, brothers and sisters, it's even far better to be able to say in Jesus Christ, I am God's. I am the Almighty God's special treasure through the blood of his own Son. He has claimed me, and he is renewing my life. Then and only then can we really confess, my complete happiness is only in him. My whole delight is in him. I find all my comfort in him. Charles Spurgeon tells the story of a poor courtier in King Cyrus's court. And he just happened to be a good friend of King Cyrus. So Cyrus wanted to show his friendship. He arranges a wonderful wedding with a courtier's daughter. And then people sneered. They said, you poor courtier, where is your riches? You'll never be able to afford the dowry for your daughter. And what did the courtier reply? What need do I have of riches? King Cyrus is my friend. Did you know, in Jesus Christ, the Almighty Creator, the Lord of the universe, is our friend. More than that, in Jesus Christ, he is our Father, and Jesus Christ is our brother. Don't you think God will take care of his own? When we make a profession, but I trust in you, O Lord, I say you are my God, then God affirms our hearts. God, the Holy Spirit, gives us the confidence so that we're entirely persuaded of the truth that God is our God. So much so, no one, not even Satan, can talk us out of it. So confess his name daily, people of God. Don't waver. Don't wander in uncertainty. And not just inwardly, not just in your inner secrets, but confess him with your heart, with your tongue, to loved ones out there into the world. You know, our world desperately needs to hear our witness. Jesus Christ is the only answer to our hopeless world. No more sweetness can be uttered from a human mouth than a determined allegiance to Yahweh, that covenant God. Therefore, David could say, my times are in your hands. David, in his faith, he's at that mature point. He's no longer troubled about those sudden, unforeseen events that can cause such dread. David is confident, cheerfully committed, that God will preserve his whole existence. He's assured. He's trusting in God's divine guardianship. So much so he can say, Lord, it's up to you. It's your prerogative. You alone have the power to dispose of both my health and my life. What a comfort. My times are in your hands. You, Lord, are the sovereign arbiter of my destiny. You hold in your power all the issues of my life. I am not just an abandoned dinghy floating on the windborne white caps of the ocean of fate, by no means. But I am, Lord God, we are steered by your infinite wisdom towards your desired haven. Your providence is like a soft pillow for our anxious deeds. It's a pacifier for our anxiety. It's a grace for our despair. So, Lord, whatever obstacles we might be subjected to, whatever trials we might fall, we're safe under your divine protection. In all of the many-colored webs of our lives, we are in your hands. Can we be sure? Can we bank on God? Yes. How do we know? Well, David's great descendant, our Lord Jesus Christ, he was intimately acquainted with grief and often with sorrow. He understands us. He knows us intimately. Every upper and downer, every sweep of emotion, every moment of anxiety, every tick of our hearts, every arch and joy of our lives, he knows. Precious congregation, this morning's text is what the Holy Spirit has given me in many moments of anxiety, of pain, of fear, of doubt. Whether it's the up and down of the stock market, whether it's my heart disease or my chronic leukemia, this text has been my immediate comfort. My times, Lord, are in your hands. So what about you? Where is your anchor? Where is your comfort? May God use his powerful word to strengthen and nourish your faith. In whatever circumstances you find yourself, the challenge, see, is for each one of us to trust him totally and then to make the most for his kingdom every day in every experience that he provides. Trust him. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, let's sing.